Hi, I'm Jeff. It's good to be here. So what a great song, sorrowful song that Jacob led us in worship and singing. I tell my students that believers are people who experience the wear and tear like everyone else in life. What makes us different is we have the certainty of Christ and the cross. So we will have times of sadness, times of sorrow, times of extreme frustration and burdens. But what makes us different is we should not be hopeless people, but in Christ we have magnificent hope. And I really give thanks for the song that Jake led us in. Okay, this is the first time I've ever spoken here. I visited here a number of times. And when I speak at a church for the first time, I always ask questions. Okay, so I'm going to ask the same thing. Okay. So the first thing I need to know is how many of you do not work in the high-tech industry? Well, praise God. The second thing is, what are you doing here? Okay. How many of you do work in the high-tech industry? Actually, it's less than half. I thought it would have been more. There breaks one of the myths of a Peninsula Bible Church for me, you know? The second question is, how many of you have grandchildren or great-grandchildren? Praise God. I want to see those hands step forward. The buses will wait, okay? And so I have grandchildren, too. I have four grandchildren. They're a blessing. Okay, I want to ask the other question. I'm assuming everyone else will raise with no grandchildren. Okay, how many of you are native Californians? Okay, put your hands down. That's about 40%. How many of you, okay, I'm not going to ask not natives, the rest of you can name. Okay, how many of you are from the East Coast? Okay, pick them up. How many of you are from the greater New York City area? I see those hands. Anyone from New York City besides my wife? Where are you from?
New York City.
Oh, which part, which borough? Blessed by all degree, you know. I'm from New York City, and I still have quite a bit of my New York within me. And I decided that I would give a message on the series that you're doing on work. And I was thinking about the first job I ever had. I was in college, and I worked at a Christian bookstore. That was a long time ago, okay. And I don't know whether it was then I read this book, or maybe I read it a little earlier. But when I was a late teen, I picked up this book. It was called Body Life. And some of you know what, you know, you might have seen that book, you know. And I was so amazed because the church before that was filled with more formality and filled with more ritual attending something. Oh, you got to attend a prayer meeting, you got to attend the worship service, you got to, you know, and things like that. And it was very, very interesting because the writer, theologically, because I teach theology, His background, theological background, is really based upon a concept of the priesthood of the saints. Not a church filled with clergy or ministers serving you, but a church where everyone understands that they are priests of God. And part of the interaction in that book was to show how it actually works in the church. It was full of stories. Well, I was so moved by that book that I decided when I went to seminary, I was 21, that I would go to the seminary of the guy who wrote the book. And then I was going to church, my wife and I got ordained in a sister church of the guy who wrote the book at Richland Bible Fellowship in Richardson, Texas. And when I mentioned the book Body Life, there's a number of chuckles and things because the writer of the book is Ray Steadman, and he's the iconic figure of Peninsula Bible Church. And it's really good to understand that that flavor of the priesthood of saints still exists in the fabric of this church. And it's really one of the distinctives that you should be very, very proud of. That this is not a church that is led by superstar ministers or ministries that serve you, but is looking forward in developing people to be ministers. For every one of us is a minister, whether you stand up here or whether you are on full-time staff or you are a volunteer. Today, we're going to go through the book of Ephesians, and we're going to look at one category in Ephesians. It is on work. And there are five categories, even though there's four here. And you're going to know when my sermon ends when I come to the fifth one. So if you're like keeping score, when I get to number five, it's done, okay? And then I'll do a prayer, okay? And the five categories, I want to tell you in advance. The clergy, crooks, slaves, but I've changed it to hourlies because we don't have slaves. And then I said, oh, they're better, maybe salaried people better, and then there are the people on top, the CEOs. And there's something for everyone. And we're going to follow a sort of pattern. We're going to look at the text. We're going to identify the group. We're going to see what Paul has for us to do. Because you know what? You realize that the church in Ephesus and the early church and the church in the United States and the church in the world is a very diverse place. And not everyone is doing the same thing or in the same socioeconomic level or the same ethnicity. It was not a monolithic movement. But it was a movement centered around Christ, so that wherever you were and whatever you did and wherever you came from, you could grow and take the next step in Jesus Christ. That's basically the game plan. I've chosen a very simple structure for this message. You know, in my old age, I'm getting senior moments and I forget what I'm going to preach on, okay? The very first category is found in the first slide. It's going to be in Ephesians chapter 4. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up the body of Christ. Okay, now what is there? Oh, there's another one here. I didn't know this is a bonus. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Okay, very clear. The first category that the Apostle Paul mentions as a work category, I know they're kind of soft, these categories, but the people who were called to be ministers, leaders in the church, teachers, okay? And this is very, very important. Because what you learn from the text is that it is a gift. He gave us, who's ever speaking or is ever minister, and our goal, we are to develop people. Now, you gotta understand how important this is. I went to seminary when I was 21 years old. I was like really thin, you know, back then. And it was really interesting. Here I wanted to like learn about God and help ministers, people, and I gotta tell you, you know, 25 years of pastoring, all sorts of different churches, you know, and things like that. And I got tired, man. And it sometimes became a job, man. And that's really a bad thing. Because the purpose of church and the purpose of people serving in church, clergy, is that it is not a job. And your effectiveness isn't is that you're the gift to the church. Instead of you're the gift of the church, you are one of the gifted, for everyone you serve is gifted. And I have to tell you, if you minister, this is a huge mentality, get out of your brain. You're not the special one. I minister in the midst of everyone who was special. You know how hard that is to change the mindset? Because ministers and very successful speaking, and they write books, we could have this superstar mentality, you know? It was never the intent of Christ to have that. And not only was it not the intent of Christ to see you as the gifted one, but to see you as one of the everyone who is gifted, our goal was to develop people, not to craft sermons or to organize ministries,
but to develop people. And that is how actually Christ will measure our effectiveness.
I went to Dallas Seminary. I told you when I was 21 years old. I won't tell you the year, okay? If I come back, I'll tell you the year. And I didn't get enough with my THM, so I went for a PhD. And because I love knowledge, you know? I was a sick person. I love writing papers and theology, you know? Very sick in the head. And actually, I enjoyed my years in seminary. But it tricked me some. Because you realize ministry is not writing papers at all, but it is how you develop people to live and work in Jesus Christ. And if you fit in this category of clergy, this is something that you must remind yourself time and time again to be. And I'm going to go to the third one. Where is Christ? Christ is the gifter. We are the body of Christ. That is the motive. This is the big game-changing mindset. It's you know, I'll tell you something. You can learn the skill of being a clergyman or being a religious worker. The mind of Christ is very, very different. And that is what Paul is trying to get us to understand. The mind of Christ behind the action. Let's look at the second category. So you got your scorecard, five down, one down, four to go. Ephesians 4:28. I'll go on my right side. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Now, I have another slide coming up here, and it's pretty straightforward. Crooks. And this is very interesting. Crooks in the early church? God forbid, you know? I'll tell you something. The early church was so diverse. You had wealthy people. You had people from the other side of the track. You had slaves. You would have what we considered grunt workers. And they were all within the church. And, you know, the modern church, you could almost divide them socioeconomically. Poor people go to this church. Wealthy people go to this. Middle class people go to this church, you know? It was not so, and that is a modern aberration of what the original church was to be. And the original church had people who came, you know, had a rest record, you know? And Paul's admonition, look, this is for you. First, you got to put away stealing. You got to work, and the goal is to share with people. To change your mindset from taking things from people, transforming it now to sharing things with people. You know how important that is? And you don't have to be a crook to understand this. To take or to share. That's every one of us, whether you're a crook or not. Paul wants us not only to begin, because each point applies to all of us, to understand we are all the body of Christ and we are all gifted. The second application take home is that we need to learn to be sharers with God has given to us. And some of you, okay, tell you, church this size are in illegal activity, okay? I'm a guest speaker, so I can, you know, I can say this, you know? And if you feel guilty, you know, talk to, you know, Pastor Paul after, you know? And I'll dial 911, okay? We have to understand this. And it's a transformation process, okay? But it's not just for morality or for the criminal justice system. It's a whole change in mindset that you now can share with people. And that's something that each and every one of us need to learn to do. My parents were working class people. So is my wife sitting in the back there. Both our fathers were waiters in Chinese restaurants. Okay, what do you do, you know? And he wasn't a Chinese restaurant, he was a Polynesian restaurant, okay? And both our mothers were seamstresses. Okay, that's my background, blue collar, okay. And the difference between her family and my family, her family, her parents were Christians, so they were very giving people with their time and money. My family was not raised Christian. So for me, when I was growing up in Christ, I had to learn what it meant to share with people. It was not how I was brought up, man. And that's what all of us are trying to learn to do. Because that is how our work, our place in the gifted economy of Christ works out. To be able to share with people. Because in one sense, it reflects the gospel of grace, sharing with people even though they do not deserve it. And where is Christ? Christ enables us to put on the new self. I don't have the verse, but that famous put on the new self is just a few verses before this, and this is basically an application to this. Two down, three to go. Ephesians 6, 5 and 6. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ, but not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Now, whenever you see the word heart, you really on the eyes, you know, you're not talking about the physical heart. You're talking about the depth, the deeps of the soul, how you make decisions, sometimes the values you hold. Very, very interesting. We don't have bondservants anymore, at least in the United States. We still have them in this world. We try to get rid of it. You notice it's a very different category of if you are in this type of socioeconomic class. I would put them as like grunt workers, minimum wage workers, places that you are just moving on to because the only reason why you get it because, you know, you're trying to get a better job someplace else, you know, and everyone's got to start somewhere, okay? I remember when one of my jobs I've ever had, I was counting all of my jobs, I had like 12 different jobs. One of my jobs, I wanted to learn the carpentry trade. And I still do a lot of home repair based upon that. And I told my wife, I learned the trade by being a carpenter's helper. And when my wife helps me, I said, you're my carpenter's helper. And basically what the carpenter's helper does, it picks up the wood that the real carpenters cut and throw to the side. And it's like grunt work, man. And it's like, oh man, I was the carpenter's workers in Texas, man. It's like shoveling and stuff in a pickup, bring the dump in like 8 hours of, oh man, it's like, oh, what is this, you know? This category of work, grunt work. You ever know grunt work? Boy. Ever been in a place where you didn't want to be in? They always say 70% of the American public doesn't like their job. Okay? This is what Paul says. Unlike the clergy, which is to see yourself as not the gifted, but one of the gifted to develop people. Unlike the thief who is now to put away stealing and work so they can share with this grunt worker, the minimum wage or a job that you feel you are not appreciated in, you know the whole thing's attitude, man. You're not stealing, man. So just because you show up, that's not it, man. Just because you're not stealing, that's not it. With each category, the Apostle Paul is upping the ante. And he's going higher and higher. And each of us are within this realm. And this third realm is the attitude. If you could go back to the passage, two slides before this. As would Christ, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. You know what's interesting? How do you do the will of God in a job I hate?
I can do the will of God in a job I love. As a Mac, if it's a job I hate, in modern understanding of spirituality, that is not God's will for me. Okay? God's will is not to be in a job I hate. When Paul says, look, the will of God can be in a job that you hate. How could it be? Because it's in your head, Jeff. It's the attitude. Are you serving this person? And you say, oh, yeah, and then you hate every minute you're there. You know, I'm not saying these things are easy. But all these things are possible through the transformation of Jesus Christ. And if you're in a job you don't like, I tell you, pray that God gives you a new job. Get your job at Google, you know? Everyone I know works at Google likes the place, you know? But before you leave, change your attitude. Because when you understand Christ, it's not just things we do. It's the motivation and the things of the heart and the reason why we do things. Because if they don't match up, you're a Pharisee, you're a hypocrite. If they do match up, there's a union of Christ in the soul changing how you view life. Some of us need to do that. And where is Christ? Christ is present in the distress. Christ is present in the distress. This is a very hard thing to do, I'll tell you that. Because in a bad place where you feel unappreciated, underpaid, trapped. You ever feel trapped in jobs? I'm going through jobs that I feel trapped. Oh, man. Will of God is not here, man. Christ is not present. Not easy. Not easy at all. Three down, two to go. Ephesians 6, 7, and 8. Now, it's kind of tied with the earlier one, but actually, Paul is adding a new category through some trickery. Rendering service, or endering service, as the you know, inspired text says, endering service, I'm just joking around, yeah, with a good will as to the Lord and not to man. So he's again repeating this theme, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this is an added bonus feature. This he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free. Now, I'm going to tell you some trickery. I wish I had a little laser pointer. He's going to add the free person at the end. So he's adding a fourth category. And then he's adding something new in this fourth category. Because in the slave, well, the bondservant category, the grunt worker category, it's the attitude. In this fourth category, he is slowly adding, if we keep on going, go back to the passage, whatever good anyone does. Now, this is a very, very different, there's an added attraction here. Because it's not just attitude, it's now doing what is good. Well, that's joining the worship team at PBC. Going to the seminary, that's good. Helping Jake out, you know? And one of that's good, you know? Being an usher, I've met some of the ushers. Mighty fine people, you know? No, this category of good is not in the context of the church. You have to understand that. And whatever good anyone does, he will receive back from the Lord. This is mind-boggling. Because I was indoctrinated that the only reward you get is things of like Christ, church service, and teaching. This whole category of reward for good that you do in the workplace, it's a whole different category. And he sneaks it in with that which is free, because the bondservant usually can't do that. But if you're free, you have the ability now to maneuver your freedom in your occupation to do that which is good.
And you will receive back from the Lord, because that's the reward system. There's a category of rewards in 1 Corinthians, which is building upon the foundation of Christ. That is clear. There is this second reward system that is not based upon 1 Corinthians, which is building in the church. It is now how you work for good in whatever you do. Now, let's look at the next slide. Goodwill and service, doing good things, and where is Christ? The third slide, the next slide, Christ is the rewarder. I'll tell you something. As you go through these categories, and I was meditating, I was like clipping through my index cards, that's how old I am, you know? I said, man, each one gets, there's a different thing to reach. For the thief, don't steal, share. Don't be a taker, be a giver. For the grunt worker, attitude, man. Attitude. For the free person, the salaried, and you have the ability to have some degree of what your destiny and future is. You have freedom. Do it for good. If you have the freedom, do it for good. My wife is a school teacher. She would share with me the good things that she does. You can make whatever occupation for the good of the people that you minister to. And it's important that you do that. Because in Christ, it's not that Paul is saying, what are you doing? Don't work. Just stay in the church. Wait for the rapture, you know? No, you transform your work through Christ into something that is very, very different. To do good. And that's a very broad category. For the good of man. Maybe that's what your calling is. And you do have the freedom. Because you're not a grunt worker. For the good. Four down, one to go, plus my conclusion. You know we're coming to the end, you know. I wish this was Super Bowl Sunday. This is like the two-minute drill, you know. Masters, do the same to them. Now, again, we're talking about the fifth category. And as he talks to this final group, at the top of the food chain, okay, I just saw a Sharknado 5. Okay, they are on the top of the food chain. Okay? Do the same to them. So it's not that, oh, forget what I said to the other people. I got special news for you. No, no. It's actually everything I said applies to you. Okay? So attitude applies to you. Doing good applies to you. Okay? Stop threatening. Knowing that he who is both their master of yours is in heaven. And I love this last line. And there is no partiality with him. The action is to have the attitude change, to do good, give up threatening is the new addition of action. But the attitude and the reason why. Same word. And God is both colorblind and dollarblind. And if you sit as someone who has achieved in the Silicon Valley, this is the hardest thing to shake off. Enjoy your achievement, Buy yourself a new car, okay? Tesla Model 3, if you get one, okay? Or the X. I want someone to get me an X. I want my daughter to get me an X. It's a dream, okay? It's a joke, too. To give me a picture of an X. But if you're at the top of the economic food chain, here is God's will for you. Understand you are no better than anybody else. Because God is impartial. So if you flaunt your wealth, and you flaunt your authority, and you flaunt your position, you do not understand Christ, and you do not understand God, from whom there is no partiality. And I tell you, this one might be the hardest one to do, especially in America. And this is what this nation needs. We have the same Lord, and there is no partiality. That was the dream of Christ and the apostles, of a church that would have rich people, successful people, slaves, thieves, reformed thieves, salaried, hourlies, who came together not for a good time, but because they understood Christ and Christ's role to change them. I don't know where you are. I think I've battled all five of these in my life. I got to tell you that. And I think if you were kind of honest with yourself, you battle with all five too, sometime in your life. I tell you what. Wherever you are, there is something for you to become. Because Christ died on the cross to give us peace with God, to allow us to change and reflect the image of the glorious Son who sits enthroned at the right hand of the Father. Let the Spirit of God change you. I have a few minutes. I'm going to go in prayer, and I'm going to pray for you. Allow me the privilege of praying for you. Our Heavenly Father, I pray for these, my friends at Peninsula Bible Church. Wherever we are in Christ, you're a game changer, Lord. Help us change our lives and our attitudes in a very troubled world, complicated daily life. I pray for those who work at this church to stir anew the understanding that we are to develop people and not be fooled by how many people we got in our church. That is fooling us. It is what our people are. The priesthood of the saints that Ray Steadman really championed. For some of us to renew the sincerity of our hearts as we serve you full time. To find the first love, as Jesus spoke about in Revelation, the book of the Revelation. There are those who are doing bad things at work. Taking, lying, cheating. I ask that you would allow us to repent. And instead of being takers in this world, to share. To set aside funds that we may give to support of those in the ministry and also the poor that come our way. An attitude of sharing. Maybe that is what you need. For some other, you're in a bad job. And you can't wait to leave. And you feel you're being punished by God. I pray that you would transform our hearts and minds, that see our job is the will of God, not because of punishment, But everything we do, whatever place we are, we maximize it for the cause of Jesus Christ. For others, it is doing good because we have a degree of freedom in what we can do in our future. Have us invest our time wisely for the good of people. And for some of us, we've made it. Economically, we've made it in the Bay. Have us understand the mind of Christ, that we are no better than anyone else. For God, you are impartial. Bless these, my friends, at Peninsula Bible Church. May they reflect the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name I pray. Amen.